First and foremost, I would like to say thank you to Canon Kunkel, who is welcoming me again in the beautiful city of Stockholm and beautiful Sweden. And also, Father, thank you for the long way you've come to act and perform the role of subdeacon for this solemn high mass. For those who don't know me, I'm Canon Monjean. I'm obviously French, and I can't help. I serve the mission of the Institute of Christ the King in New Brighton. If you don't know New Brighton, it's very easy. Northwest of England, just south Liverpool, on the other side of the river, that's me. So in Shrewsbury Diocese. So I'm more than happy and delighted to be here with you to celebrate this Sexagesima Sunday. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Semen est verbum Dei. These few words embedded in the gospel of this Sunday are certainly the core of the teaching of Jesus Christ this morning in this very, very famous parable of the sower. And Semen est verbum Dei. The seed is the word of God. Well, we could translate these few words the other way around. The word of God is a seed. And as contrary to the traditional way to understand this parable, let us this morning explore the phrase of Christ in the other way around. The divine word is the seed, is a seed, the word of God. How often we hear these words in the liturgical celebration and also in the Holy Scripture, with the sacred scriptures and within the very commentaries of the Fathers of the Church, we hear the word of God is acting. And let's just make a parallel between our word, the human word, and the word of God. Obviously, they cannot be the same. They can be compared or tested one another, but they cannot be equal and similar. And this is certainly a kind of a mistake in modern world. We do think more and more. And sometimes we are ourselves persuaded and convinced that our words are important. And here, I'm probably the last person to say these sort of things, because as a preacher, you must be convinced that your words are not efficient. So be short in your sermons, and you have the solution. Let the word of God act. The human words are different from the word of God, first and foremost by nature. Our words are transition. They are expressed, they express our minds, they are the sign and the symbol of our thoughts, our concerns, sometimes our feelings, our understandings. And this is the human word. They are the visible sign of the inner intention. And they are good. And they were created by God to be able to communicate amongst us and to pray and to celebrate the presence of Christ. We must remember that the human word has got its own efficacy because straight after the creation, Adam received the power to name by word the creatures of God. Remember that they had no name until Adam was given the responsibility to dominate, and he dominates the creation through the naming of the creatures. The human word has got a kind of efficacy, as we know. Because we are understood, they have got this quality, a sort of an inner skill to express our thoughts, to express our interior life. And this is a wonderful and a mystery of the human word. How can a few syllables, whatever kind of language we speak, whether it's a beautiful language or not, the succession of the syllables are able to project outside and to make others understand the very intimacy of our thoughts, of our intelligence, of our heart. This is the mystery of the human word. And this was already pointed out through philosophy. The significance of the word comes from within the word, and the power of the human word comes from the very creation, the apex, the fulfillment of the creation. And this is the power of the human word. The divine word, by nature, is different. The divine word, the word of God, does not express the core and the thoughts of God, not only. The word of God is God himself. The word of God is naturally, if I may say, with God, identified to the very nature of the Blessed Trinity. The very substance of the divinity is the word of God. There is no difference. The word, our words, would express our intention and thoughts. The word of God is God himself. And this is why, in this gospel, Jesus Christ, names the word of God, names the seed, the very word of God, as efficient. And this is something we should remember. When we read or sing the gospel, we are in contact with the word of God, of course, but we must remember what this expression means. It means with God himself, not as he was substantially present in front of us, but it's a direct means towards the divinity. And here, don't worry, I'm not being Protestant. So the understanding of the word of God comes from the magisterium and the long tradition, the authentic interpretation of the Gospels. Thus, the difference in nature. When we are in front of the liturgical proclamation of the Gospel or the Epistle, we are in a kind of presence of God, not in the presence of God's thoughts on us. And you've probably noticed, if you have attended the ordination in in the previous forms and the usus antiquia, you've probably heard, or not, the words of the ordination of the subdeacon and the deacon. Straight after our subdiaconal or diaconal ordination, the pontiff says to us, in Latin of course, receive the power to read the Gospels, to proclaim the Gospel or the Epistles for the living and the dead. Tam pro vivis, quam pro defunctis. For the living and the dead. The word of God, which is proclaimed in the liturgy, has an efficacy to the living and for the dead. Now the question is, do dead people hear the word of God? Surely they do. They don't need any kind of translation. This is why we don't really like translations, because they don't make any difference to the dead. Maybe to the living, because we all of a sudden understand in our own language. But what about the dead? The dead do understand, because they grasp, or they receive a grace from the very word of God, from the divine efficacy of the liturgical reading. For the dead, it is most important that the gospel and the epistle should be sung or read out in the sacred language, because through this sacred language we reach the invisible world of purgatory, where the gospel and the epistle liturgically read have got the full efficacy on them, and they relieve them from purgatory. This is why the souls in purgatory understand the word of God in the liturgy, not because they are in front of, they have a full revelation of the content of the gospel, of the epistle, but because they touch them. They are related to the gospel or to the word of God because in the liturgy they are, it does make a difference to their eternal life. It reduces and minimizes directly their time in purgatory. That was a sort of digression, to be honest, about the word of God. But it's most important to understand that. We're not singing the gospel for you here, although we love you all, but because we love the church suffering in purgatory as well. And the word, the human word, is in transition. When we say something, our word vanishes the 1 second after we've said it, we've said them. They vanish all of a sudden, and we can't retrieve them, because what is said is said. But what is written is a little bit different. It can be kept. But the word, the human word, our words, are temporary. And from that aspect, they are not necessary. They are not substantial. They are forgotten, sadly, rapidly, aren't they? But the word of God, being substantial, stays forever. It has a constant and a permanent efficacy, and this is the second important quality of the word of God. It is always there, present and constant. For all eternity, this seed is planted in our mind, not because of the words of God, but the word of God. The very essence, substance of Christ is in us through what we call the grace. And this is the true seed, is the divine grace has been planted in us, whether we receive a grace of conversion, but moreover, because we receive the sacramental grace of the baptism, which remains forever. This seed cannot be taken away from us, ever. We have no option. We have decided to be nourished and to receive this seed. This is it. The tree now must grow in us to welcome, remember this parable, to welcome the seed, the word of God becomes a big tree, and in order to welcome the birds of the air. The birds of the air are all the sacraments and sacramentals of the church. They come and nest in us. And this is all the graces we receive through blessings, prayers, sacrifices, sacraments. So that's the bird of the church. And the word of God, this eternal seed we receive, is even more nourished by another seed, a final one, because I've been too long today. Sorry. The word of God, the eternal seed of God, is nourished by another one through the reception of Holy Communion. And I refer here to the very words of St. Thomas Aquinas. When he describes the Holy Eucharist, he used a beautiful expression to name the Blessed Sacraments. He says the Blessed Sacrament is semen gloriae, the seed of glory. That's what he says. And this is where we feed our own little seed. We feed our seed with another one, which is no different from the previous one, is the very substantial and sacramental presence and real presence of Jesus Christ. He is the seed. This gospel is related to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Holy Eucharist, the presence of Jesus. Yes, he is the seed of glory. It means that when we kneel here and when we receive our Blessed Lord, we are directly in touch, or we are touched by heaven. We are in direct contact with Christ in heaven through his, as we know, glorious body. Semen gloriae, the seed of glory. And this, the efficacy promised in the parable to his disciple, would be the same for us as we receive Holy Communion in good condition, with a good confession, and in state of grace, of course. It's very fruitful. It bears a big tree of all the graces we can gather. And the efficacy is constant. The Word of God is acting, constantly acting in us, amongst us. And this is so proactive that it has an efficacy in Our Lady. She said yes to the Word of God. So it be according to your word. And this word is the cause of the incarnation. The cause, this subject, the intention, and the very being of the incarnation. Christ, in the incarnation, has caused his own assumption, the assumption of the divine nature. So it be according to your word. Shall we repeat this little sentence? The seed of God. The seed is the word of God. The word of God is my seed. May it grow in me according to his own word. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen.